Blog Talk Radio.
I dream of a city called glory, so bright and so fair. When I entered the gate, I cried, "Holy."
Hello?
Hey, Sister Joanna.
Hey, Marilyn, how are you?
I'm good. Long time no talk to.
I'm sorry? I know. It's been too long.
Amen.
You doing good?
And hanging in there.
Well, very good. Very good. Did you get those things? Brother Peter was telling me some things on your job. Did you get that all squared away?
I'm working on it.
Okay. It's not a quick fix, right?
That's true.
It's true. Bless your heart. Is Brother Peter going to join us tonight, or did he take the night off?
He took the night off. He's on,
good for him.
In the car going elsewhere.
Oh, good for him. A good night off's a blessing sometimes, so good for him. Do you have any of your church with you tonight?
No, right now I'm actually in the car on my way home.
Okay. Well, you be careful driving. You be careful.
Good. What are you teaching us on tonight?
Well, last time, and it's been so long, I don't even know if you remember, but we did a quick lesson on some things with children, and with all the political stuff around the abortion, you know, the lady that Roe that had that fake name Roe, you know, apologized or turned from that decision she made, and they wouldn't say a lot about it. Well, she died about 3 months ago. Did you hear that?
Yes, I did, sister.
Yeah. And I thought it was interesting. So I wanted to do a thing on children tonight. When I did the one before, Brother Peter mentioned, you know, he said a lot of times some of our ladies don't get a lot of teaching or thoughts on their children. And so I thought I got some things together that I'd had for a while and just kind of added to it and thought I would bring that to us tonight.
Amen. Amen, sister.
Okay, and then I'll give you next time, as far as I know right now, April's good for me. My problem, I told Brother Peter, my problem these next few months, I'm traveling some, and on some of my travels, I get where I don't have a good phone reception. So I told him I would let him know. But as far as I know right now, where I will be next month, I will be in a good area. So I plan to, you know, be here the third Thursday of next month. So
okay.
I wanted to give you the scripture, or that there are two ladies in the first chapter of Exodus that are very brave. It's a really interesting story. So in preparation, if any who are listening or for you, read the first chapter of Exodus.
Okay.
And there are two women in there. I'm praying I say their names right. With this southern drawl, sometimes I can kill names when I say them. But one is Shiphrah, Shiphrah, and the other is Puah, Puah, two very interesting women and brave women. So I wanted to, after this lesson on children, and bring in Moses' mother, how she raised him in a horrible culture. She raised him to know who God was. And I'm sure for all of us, it's a good reminder for children and grandchildren to hear that. So that's going to be our thought next time.
Sounds good to me, sister.
Okay. So if y'all are ready, we'll get started, get going, and see where the Lord leads us tonight. Okay.
All right.
You want me to open in prayer? Because I don't want you to close your eyes while you're driving.
Yes, would you please do that?
I will. Father, I thank you now for this privilege and opportunity that you give to us to get together in this format and to study your word. I thank you for Marilyn and Brother Peter, who are so faithful to bring God's word to these listeners, to these who are benefit from this way to get your word out. I thank you for this wonderful opportunity you give them. Pray tonight now as we look at these verses on children, Father. And most of us, or I know in my life and probably Marilyn's, our children are grown. There are things that we can learn to pass on to younger women, to those who are coming behind us, to give the value of their children and the value that God places on their children. And I pray to help us to see our grown children and our grandchildren in a different light. I thank you for this privilege. Thank you for Brother Nathan and those who make this study time available. We bless you now and thank you in Jesus' name for your many, many blessings. For it's in his name I pray. Amen.
Amen, sister. Amen.
Thank you. Our focal scripture is found, and I'm sure when I say this, it will be very familiar to you. It's from Psalm 127:3. It says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." I know we've read that many times, especially when put it on cards, when a newborn, when family has a newborn and that kind of thing, to encourage them that this great gift is from the Lord. And as we start this, I wanted to kind of enlarge that word heritage. Many times we hear of our heritage, and for some people it's it means great monetary things that they get. For others, I have a friend in Sumter County, Florida, who is a fifth generation landowner, and her family has left her hundreds of acres of land there. Her heritage is what her family worked for and left for her. So many times our heritage is very good according to what our parents have done. And for a lot of people, their heritage is not that good because their parents have not invested their time with the Lord or with resources to help their children. They've left their children a heritage of heartache because of the lifestyle they've chosen. So heritage is an interesting word, but this one tonight says that children are an heritage of the Lord, that the Lord has given us the gift of our children, and the fruit of the womb, which is a child, is his reward. And I know many times in our culture that people don't see that or receive their children that way. So as we enter this study, I wanted to make those remarks and then to give some thoughts that I had on this as this Roe woman died. I thought what a terrible thing she started. And to change her mind and then not be able to stop it, a monster she created, and then no way to stop it now unless God's children pray and stand against this horrible thing of abortion. And just from this verse that I just read, we can see that God sees our children as a gift and as a reward in our life. So with those two thoughts kind of before us, I wanted to develop it a little bit with these thoughts that I had. The first thing that I see in that remark is that God places great value on our children. And to give some backbone to that statement, in Exodus 10:1-2, the Lord said this, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him, and that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and of thy son's son what things I have wrought in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know that I am the Lord." And as I looked back at those that verse, I thought, you would think with what the Lord was getting ready to do in this deliverance of his people, that it would be to tell the nations, to tell big important people, to tell kings, to tell rulers of land, to tell people we would consider of great importance. But look where the Lord placed the importance. He said that you will tell your son, your children, let your children know what I have done. Let your children know that I am the Lord. Let your children know that I'm their deliverer. Let them know what I've done among you. I thought that was a very interesting statement and powerful from the Lord with this great deliverance that he was getting ready to give to the Hebrew people. Then in Matthew 18:1-6, Jesus said this, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. That's Matthew 18:1-6. And verse 10 says, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. And then in verse 14, Jesus says this, even so, it is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. Can you see the importance that Jesus gave to a child? He brought one in when asked a very important question and answered it with the presence of a little child, and then gave these wonderful instructions, these powerful instructions about how we're to humble ourselves as they do and trust and come as a little child. Then the warning that he gave that if we offend one, that one that believes in him, and I think this is has a twofold meaning. I think that it means new believers in him that are like little children in the faith. I think it also means physical little children, that because very few little children don't believe in God. I don't think I've ever spoken to a little child that doesn't have some idea of who God is and what they believe about him. It may shock us a little bit what they believe, but they have this inward desire to know God. And as adults and as their parents and as their teachers in Sunday school and other areas that God gives us the opportunity to interact with them, how we should be telling those little children about God. Then in verse 10, it tells us to not despise one, for they have an angel that beholds the face of God. They have a guardian angel that protects them. And I know there are a lot of questions with children that are hurt and these other things. And the answer to that question is sin. Those things happen because the adults in their life are sinners and don't love the Lord and can hurt a child because they don't love the Lord. Then in verse 14, if you ever want to be in the will of God, help a child. It says, even so, it's not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish, that we should protect the belief and the life of these little ones and to teach them about God. The second thing that I thought of when I was developing these thoughts is that we as their parents, we as their teachers, should begin early teaching them about their Father and about God's place for them. In John 14:2, we hear it, many times, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. How do we teach our children? How do we teach our children about God? Again, in Deuteronomy, let me get over there. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, please forgive me, I'm a little bit slow getting these pages turned. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, this is how God said that we're to teach our children. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them, excuse me, when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, excuse me, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. How are we to teach our children? Every moment that we are around them, we should be finding, as they say, teachable moments. We should be looking for opportunities to share with our children. When does it say, first of all, it has to be in your heart. Deuteronomy 6, which I command thee this day, get it in your heart. You can't lead them where you've not been. So the first way that we teach our children is that we have the gospel, we have salvation, we have a relationship with God in our lives. And then it says you'll teach them diligently. And that word, diligent, is another interesting word, if you will. And we'll get the meaning for it and apply it into this teaching. Diligently is a... I've heard it associated like they worked hard or they did something diligently, or it's hardworking, industrious, conscientious, careful, painstakingly, that we don't persistent. We look for every opportunity. That's what diligent means. We look for every opportunity we can to share the gospel, to tell them about Jesus. When we're sitting, when we walk, when we're laying down, and when we get up. That's how often, and that's how we teach our children about our hope of heaven. When my granddaughter was real, she was about, I think she just turned 3, she and I were sitting in a swing in her backyard, and it was just about the dusk, dusk time, just the twilight time, just real that time right before night sets in, and it's just real calm. And we were swinging, we weren't talking, and as we were swinging, she put her little hand over on my knee, and she said, "Granny, before I left heaven to come to earth, I had a lot of brothers and sisters." And I thought, what did I say to that? So I didn't say anything. And then in about, seemed like 5 or 10 minutes, but it was just a few seconds, she patted me again and she said, "Granny, when me and you go to heaven and meet Jesus, you'll get to meet all my brothers and sisters." And I did not dare touch that, nor would I, because I believe that they little children come straight from the heart of God, and our duty is to start teaching them early about our Heavenly Father and about their heavenly home, the place that God has for them. All through the Scripture, children are, there are stories of children in God's Word. There are some that were put in the places of great leadership, and through adverse conditions, but God had a place for them and had a work for them. That brings us to this other point, to help them discover God's plan for their lives. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." And I was told that that word train up a child in the way, growing up, I heard it, you know, we need to take the kids to church and to Sunday school and that kind of get them to revival meetings and Bible teaching and that. And that's a good thing. But this wonderful teacher in our church one time said that this verse here means it's a lot deeper than that. It said that it was like when a Jewish mother was, or a Hebrew mother was trying to teach her children how to eat. She would take just the tip of her finger, this is small children, place it in the food and then put it on the back of the child's tongue and keep doing that until the child developed a taste for the food she was trying to feed him. And he said that's what this verse means. We're to constantly give them, feed them, and do it, it's tasteful, God's word, to teach them how to eat, if you will, God's word, to train them on it. We don't leave that to Sunday school teachers or pastors or youth workers. We do that ourselves. That's the parent's job. It's just like that Jewish mother taught that child how to eat that food. That's how we're to train our children diligently, daily. What that means, it doesn't mean he'll leave it and come back to it. It means that it will stick with him all of his life, and he won't leave it. When he's old, he won't depart from it. Other philosophies, other teachings won't get to him because he'll have the true word of God in him. He's learned to live on that. Psalm 119:105 says, "Thy word is a light unto my feet." I'm sorry, a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God wants us to teach our children how to live, how to walk, to be the lamp unto their feet, a light where they go, that they'll see picture of their lives or the goal for their life right before them, and they'll see the big picture in the light of God's word. Proverbs 29:15b says this. The whole verse reads, "The rod and reproof give wisdom. Child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." And the rod represents correction. It doesn't mean that they're just beating, but it means the rod represents the correction in the Bible and direction for the child. Reproof is a reminder of the child to who that they belong to. It gives wisdom to the child. But a child left without this, a child that doesn't get this kind of training, brings his mother shame. So we're to constantly be teaching our children as God gives us opportunity, as Deuteronomy has instructed us, take advantage of every teachable moment. And when you're lying down, when you're sitting up, when you're walking, when you're just get up in the morning, remind your children how much God loves them. And then in God's word, we have several examples of children who became, who God used in a great way. And this plan for their life, we need to be teaching these characters, be talking to our children about these characters in the Bible that God has given us, that he had a plan for their lives. And many of these characters, the plan was not easy. A lot of times we want our kids and want young people that we lead to the Lord to think that their life is going to be easy, and it is not. The Christian life is not always easy, and we should not lead them to believe that. We should let them know of these characters who went through some very interesting, very hard lives. We need to make them aware of that. Even if your child has a fairly, don't like to say this word, but safe life, if you think they're just safe with you, safe in the church, let them know that that these things, these circumstances happen to people and could happen to them. Joseph is a great example. Remember, he was in a blended family, jealous brothers, parents who love one child over another. Pick one, had one favorite over another. And yet look how God gave Joseph favor. And throughout his life, every place that Joseph was in, you will read again and again of the favor God bestowed on Joseph, even in prison, and brought him out from prison and made him the second in command in Egypt, no one greater than him but Pharaoh. That wonderful character story for your child. And then Daniel, a young man who was at a young age, young man taken from his home, and him and his many in his of his age, and taken into to be trained to be used in the Nebuchadnezzar's court, and all that he went through, and how he stayed faithful to God through all of that time, the testing with the lions, the testing in the fire for his companions, and his own being accused and watched in his adult life, and yet he stayed faithful to God because of what he had been taught as a young man. And David, another shepherd boy who God saw as a king. Remember when Samuel asked, are there others? And they said, we got this little, he said, I got one more boy, but he's just a little shepherd boy out in the field. And David said, well, bring him in. And they brought David in, a young boy, ruddy. And God said, this is the one. And the Bible let us know a great, wonderful fact in David's life, that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. The family saw a shepherd boy, one who they weren't held in even high esteem. And yet God looked through that, and he saw the king. Pray that as you look at your children, you'll not only see who they are, but what they can become as we guide them. And let the Lord have his way in their life. I can go on. There's Miriam, the teenager who helped save her brother Moses' life. And then Moses, who later became a great leader and delivered his people from slavery. The young boy in John 6 is another interesting character who shared his lunch, all he had, and watch Jesus take that and bless it and feed 5,000 people with that small little lunch he had. Can you imagine what effect that had on his life? And probably, I pray, what his parents taught him as he shared that story with them. The little girl, Naaman, she's one of my favorite in 2 Kings 5, where she, all she did was tell her mistress, she said, I wish that my master Naaman, she was in slavery, a little slave girl, don't even have her name. And yet how her love for her, the prophet or her preacher, if you will, that she told her mistress, said, I wish that he would go see the prophet, that he would tell him that God could heal him. And Naaman followed the instructions of that little girl. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine a child having that much influence over the leader of an army? It's a wonderful, wonderful character lesson in that. And why would adults listen to a little slave girl? Why would they pay her any attention? And my thought is that she was a good little girl, that she did what she was told, and she had a good attitude. And when they when she spoke, the mistress listened because of this little child's influence. That is a wonderful, wonderful story to share with your children. And then little Samuel, remember him? And mother prayed for him, and God sent her this wonderful little child, little boy. And she promised to take him back and give him to a priest, Eli, not a good man, two very bad sons. How could she do that? The little three-year-old, she promised the Lord that she would give him, and she trusted God, not Eli. She trusted God with her son. How can we let our kids get out in this world? How do we do that? We trust God. We don't trust the world, but we trust God with our children. I pray that this will speak to some hearts tonight and give you encouragement as you are raising and as your children are grown and as you're praying for your grandchildren. Like Joseph, pray for God's favor. And like Daniel, pray for their faithfulness, that they'll be faithful to him in spite of all circumstances. David, be a man whose heart is after God. The Bible says that David had his heart was after God. Said he was a man after his own heart. This little girl in Naaman's little servant girl. What a brave little girl that was. Pray that they're brave with the gospel. One of the greatest proofs of how much God values children is that he became the babe in Bethlehem, clothed in human flesh, and to give his life a sacrifice for us so that we could tell our children about him. And Jesus grew from a baby to a man going through all those years. So if we need an example for our children, we have the perfect example in Jesus. A few glimpses into his life, and we see him, the Bible said in Luke 2, that he grew in favor and stature with God and men. There's that favor again. So pray God's favor for your children. A response to the love that God sent to us in that babe at Bethlehem, and then to the cross at Calvary, and then to the empty tomb. What a great story we have to share with our children of God's salvation. And I pray that you will be willing to let your children see God work in your life through the good and the bad, to give him glory and to for your good and his glory, and let them know that. Don't be afraid to share what God has done for your children. The great plans that God's made for our children, and personal plans. In Jeremiah 29:11, God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." The plans that God has for our children, we should share that with them, that even though they may go through some rough places in life, all of that is not for evil. Remember the end of Joseph's life, that he told his brother, said, "You meant this for evil, but God did it for good." Let them know that the Lord has great plans for their life, not of evil, but to give them good, to bring them to an expected or planned end. I pray that you're encouraging your children in this. And then in plans for peace, God said this in Isaiah 54:13, "And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children." And you and I know as believers that the only peace that's in this world is the peace that we have in Jesus Christ. we know that the worst things can come to us. And I don't know of very many people that do not live in, with some kind of conflict in their life, some sort of problems. And I can tell you in my life, just when I think they're over, there's another one. Or just when I think I've really learned or done good in my life, or I'm through with that, I've been a Christian a long time, there's always things that come up that God is doing two things in our life. He's either teaching us a lesson or he's using us to teach somebody else a lesson. But always Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In this world, I'm going to have problems because this is an imperfect world run by imperfect people. But I have faith in a perfect Savior who's going to give me the peace that I need to get through the trials. And the only time you won't have a trial is when you're dead. So if you're living, expect these things to come. And we need to teach our children that. We need to prepare them. So many things we try to be sure that we tell them. And many times we don't tell them the best news. Many times they're going through things they don't understand. And we try to fix it so things are easier for them when we need to prepare them. That many of these trials are to bring us, many of these things happen. In fact, I would say all of them happen to bring us closer to Christ. And as an experienced Christian in the Lord, this is what we should be teaching our children. God has personal plans for our children. He has plans for peace. And then he has this for us in Isaiah 59:13, permanent witnesses, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. We witness to them, and we teach them how to witness. We teach them how to tell others about him. Where are they going to learn it from if they don't learn it from us? They're not going to learn this from the world. They're not going to learn it from most colleges kids go to. And the place for our children are to learn these things that God has great plans for them is from their parents, because their parents know that God had a great plan for them. And every one of us, our testimony would be the old song, some through the fire and some through the flood. All through the, I can't remember the words, but we come through because of the care of our Father. And then the next thing that we need to, another thought in these lines, God has made a great place for our children. Described in Revelation 21 and 22, listen to this from Revelation 22:1-6. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of it, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there a tree of life which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither the light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. We as believers need to remind ourselves of the place God has prepared for us, and to let our children know that we want them to be there with us in this wonderful place that God has prepared. Was that not a glorious description that I just read of the place that God has prepared? And Jesus is still working on our home. They'll be working till we get there. So I pray that you will let your children know of this place that you're looking forward to see, a place that you're looking forward to be, and that you want them there with you. I pray that many times you share with them the hope that you have, the hope of glory that guides you through this world and will guide them through theirs. And the Holy Spirit of God that will indwell their life to give them power to live the Christian life as He has done us. Don't be afraid. Don't hold back. Share these things with your children. Let them know of your love for the Lord and His love for you, what His word means to you, what your prayer life means to you, what this wonderful, that the very God of heaven has said to you, issued to you an invitation, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Didn't you love to hear those words? There was a place that you could take your sin and get rid of it and receive the salvation, be clothed in God's beautiful garments of salvation. It's 2 Corinthians 5 tells us the great transaction that was made, our sin for His righteousness. For He made Him to be no sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. What a great trade that is. What a great exchange that is. Our sin for His righteousness. Your children need to hear that. Your little children need to know that, need to give that in terms that they can understand. But let them know, teach them early that God has great plans for them. He's made a great place for them. He's a wonderful Father. He places great value. We need to let our children that God places a great value on their life and help them to know what His plan is, to listen, to look, to be aware that He has a plan for them. And don't wait. Teach them early. They understand a lot more than think they do, a lot smarter than we think they are. And my prayer is that you will develop that, let them know that early in their life. How can we pass our faith on to our children? Next, in the next session that we have in April, Lord willing, I want to give you some thoughts, some things that I learned from Jochebed, Moses' mother, as she didn't have him but a short time. And yet the great lessons that she instilled in him, that when God needed him, he knew God's call on his life, even though he didn't understand it all and it seemed pushed against it, how he came around and how God used him, but how that came from the wisdom of a godly mother to let him know and to teach him how, or to show him, bring him to faith in a very bad culture. It gives us, gives us great hope as we think about passing our faith on to our children in this culture. One of the ways that we can pass our faith on is to respond to our children to the value that God has placed on your child. Let them know the things that you've heard here tonight. The great verse, they are a heritage from God and a reward. They're His gift. They're the best that He could send to us, and then His reward for that. And teach them about the value that He gave them, discovering the plan, God's plan for their life. Teach them early. Help them to understand that plan. Give them these Bible characters. They're wonderful. They're all through the Bible, and I'm sure many of you know more than I do. Some of these great people that God placed in our path in the Bible to teach us so that we can pass it on to our children. This is what God said of his son in Matthew 3:17. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. We can tell our children of how much God loved his son and gave him to die for our sin, that we could have eternal life in him, and to begin telling them the great heritage that they have as believers as they put their faith and trust in God. I want to give you a personal experience that I had when my son was about 7 years old, and what I learned from it. My son was very different from me. I'm a sports freak. I love baseball and football, basketball, the whole thing. I'm a sports freak, and he is not. And one night as I was in my spirit talking to the Lord about the difference in him and me, the Lord spoke to me and told me that my first duty, my first job, my first what I owed my son first was to get my son to Jesus. That was should be my first concern. And I can tell you from that experience, it was on a Saturday night, I'll never forget it. From that experience, my whole attitude toward raising him changed. Because instead of teaching him what I wanted him to be, what I thought he should be doing, I began trusting the Lord to show me how to correct him, how to talk to him, what things I should be doing, what I should give importance to in his life that would make him serve and seek the Lord. That was my first job. Not just the money part of raising him, not feeding him, which I thought was very important, but teaching him, taking advantage of every opportunity I could find to teach him about Jesus. And I can tell you it totally changed not only his life but my life, because it showed me how important God was going to be in his life, not me, but the Lord, that I needed to turn him over to trust God as Hannah did with that little 3-year-old boy. I needed to trust God and not the circumstances, not culture, not what he learned in school, but what I was teaching him at home about God. So I pray tonight that these thoughts, these things, men will help you as you raise your children, as you think about your grandchildren, ways that you can help your grandchildren know about Jesus. And I can tell you from experience that things don't always turn out like we think they should. Tell you from experience that God is always in charge, and we trust him. He's always in control. As you're in your life as a believer, God is always in control, and what may seem like total disaster to us at times can be one of the points of God's glory, his greatest glory in our life. So I pray if you have a child that's away from you, a grandchild, that this will comfort you, this will strengthen you, and give you something to offer them as the Lord gives you opportunity to communicate with them again. I pray that you'll have a great month, and I have a word of prayer. Marilyn, are you still here?
Yes, sister, and what an awesome, wonderful lesson. I pray that this reaches many listeners, and if not, if they can go back and archive it and listen to it, it would be such a blessing to so many.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
You are a blessing to us, and we appreciate your continued ministry. And I'd like to pray us out.
Okay, hon, and be sure and let Brother Peter know I've ordered the books. Okay, I meant to tell you that at the first, and I forgot. So okay, let him know. I love you, and you'll close us out. All right.
All right. Love you.
Okay.
Thank you, Sister Joanna. Very wonderful lesson.
No,
Dear Lord, thank you so much for this time tonight. Thank you for the wisdom, the teaching, and we want to pray that this reaches out to so many and helps those that are maybe having trouble or wanting to raise their grandchildren and help a little bit with their grandchildren, as I have to do myself. We want to keep Sister Titty, Sister Dottie, her husband Roger, many people throughout our community. We want to, Sister Joan, our Sister Mary, who is homeless, keep her in your prayers. She lost her job, the little job she had, and things are just not right now for her. We just keep everyone in our prayers for health, wisdom, and to keep our eyes on the Lord and keep moving forward. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, hon. Love y'all, and I'll pray, Lord
Love
willing, see you next week. Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Nathan, back at you, Nathan. Thank you so much for the time. All right, sister. You have a
okay,
good
hon. Okay, right. Love you. Bye.
All right, bye.
Thank y'all. Thank y'all.
Thank you,
Nathan. You got
Nathan.
Us, Nathan. Okay. Love you,
yes.
Nathan.
Love you, too.
You, all right. God bless, brother.
See you next month.
See you next month, Lord willing.
Oh, he's willing.
Okay. You take care.
You, too.
Hello? Yeah, how you doing? Oh, it's a good night, wonderful night. Yes, Miss Laura, it's a good night.
It's a wonderful night, wonderful day.
Oh, it's cold. We dropped from 80, 90 degrees down to 23rd overnight. It's cold. Yes, it's cold. But all is good. All is good. Yes, it is. Wow. That was nice.
I really do feel like I feel like going on.